Welcome to Antioch. We are a multi-generational, justice-minded church in beautiful Bend, Oregon, seeking and celebrating the reconciliation of all things. May the Word of God turn your heart toward Christ and the world He loves.
We move from gathering to listening. Our scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood before them. "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Charlene. We're in Acts chapter 1, if you have a Bible and would like to turn there. If your Bible has editorial headings like mine does, then the subtitle at the beginning of Acts 1 probably says something like, "Jesus is taken up into heaven." And that is a pretty good description of the event that Christians traditionally refer to as the ascension of Christ. When 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended or was taken up from earth into heaven. And in the traditional Christian calendar, this past Thursday was Ascension Day, which is one of the more obscure and overlooked holidays on the church calendar. I'm guessing not many of you went to an Ascension Day party this week. We go big on Christmas and Easter. We know about Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, Palm Sunday. Even Fat Tuesday is a Christian holiday. But Ascension Day is a day most of us don't know much about. And I think part of the reason is that we don't really understand the significance of the ascension, even though it is one of the main events in Jesus' life and ministry. In fact, we've been confessing it every week when we say the Apostles' Creed, when we say that we believe on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. So the ascension of Christ is a big deal, historically, biblically, theologically, and practically. But it's just not something we spend a whole lot of time thinking about or talking about. So this morning, on our last week in the season of Easter, we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about the ascension of Jesus and why it matters for us today. So let's start with a little pop quiz. I'll do a theological pop quiz. Here's the question: where is Jesus right now? We believe that Jesus is alive. After he rose from the dead, he didn't die again. So where is he? Maybe this is a question you've thought about before. Maybe if you have kids, this is a question they've asked and you've tried to figure out how to answer it. So I'll make it easy on you. Let's go multiple choice. Right now, Jesus is A, in heaven, B, in his people, C, with the poor and suffering, D, in the bread and wine, E, everywhere, or F, all of the above. Any guesses? It's always all of the above, right? Because all of these answers are biblical. All of these we hold to be true, that Jesus is present in all of these ways, in all of these places, at the same time. Now, we can't fully explain that reality. There is an element of mystery to it for sure. But even though we can't fully explain it, we believe and we confess that Jesus is alive and present in all of these ways and places at the same time. Now, how can that be? Well, the answer is the ascension. I think if we're honest, if we think about the fact that Jesus left the earth and ascended into heaven, that probably sounds more like a bummer to us than something to celebrate, right? More like bad news than good news, because wouldn't it have been awesome if after he rose from the dead, Jesus just stayed here and he kept teaching, kept preaching, kept healing and doing miracles and raising the dead? Wouldn't it be amazing if he was still physically present on earth today and we could see him with our own eyes, touch him with our own hands, hear him with our own ears? We wouldn't have to ask WWJD. We would just watch and see what he did, right? It would be pretty amazing. But according to Jesus and the New Testament authors, the ascension is actually an essential component of the gospel. Or in other words, even if it sounds like bad news, it's actually good news. And Jesus even told some of his disciples at one point, it would be better for me to leave than to stay. Why? Well, during the incarnation, the time where Jesus was here, physically present on earth, even though he was fully God, he was also fully human, which means that just like you and me, he was confined by time and space. That Jesus could only be in one place at a time. But because of the ascension, that's no longer the case. Listen to how the Apostle Paul talks about where Jesus is today and what he's doing right now. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed Christ to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Okay, that's a lot. But what Paul's saying is that when Jesus ascended into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of the Father, he wasn't escaping earth. And he wasn't abandoning the world that he so loved. What he was doing was establishing his presence and authority over all creation. Because of his ascension, Paul says, Jesus now fills everything in every way. I love that phrase. I was born in 1980, which means I am right on the line between Gen X and millennial. It's an exennial is what we call it. Means we had a analog childhood and a digital adulthood. So I was coming of age right at the same time as the internet was. And so I remember when the internet first came out in the mid 90s. And if you wanted to get on the internet and you were at home, you would go to your family computer that was plugged in to a dial-up network, and you would try to get online, and you would hear this like crazy screeching, squealing sound for a while. And then you would get online and you could check your email or get on a chat room or whatever you did back then. It was crazy. I also remember the way we had to used to listen to music back in the 90s. I had this huge binder full of CDs. Right? So if there was a song I wanted to listen to, I'd have to flip through my binder, find that CD, put it in my stereo, and click until I found the right track. And then I remember in the early 2000s when I got my first laptop, and it was right when iTunes came out. And it was amazing because instead of buying CDs, I could just download music right on my computer. So no more huge binder of CDs. It was all right there on my hard drive. The only downside was if your laptop gets stolen or damaged, you would lose all your music because it was stored on your computer. Okay? So in the early days of the digital revolution, if you wanted to get online or listen to music, you had to be physically present with your computer. Remember that? A lot's changed in the last 20 years, hasn't it? We don't have to, we used to have things called internet cafes, if you can believe that. You don't have to go to an internet cafe. You don't have to be on your family computer if you want to get online. Why? Because the internet's everywhere now, right? For better or worse, we are always connected. And so if you want to access your music or your movies or your photos or your work documents, you can get out your phone and find it, because that stuff isn't stored on hard drives. Where is it stored? In the cloud. So our access to digital content used to be confined to a specific time and place, but now, because of the cloud, you might say, the internet fills everything in every way. What does this have to do with ascension? Well, look at Acts 1:9. After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. See, before he ascended, Jesus could only be in one place at a time. His presence was limited to where his physical body was. But then he went up into the cloud. And now his presence is everywhere all the time. Because of the cloud, Jesus now fills everything in every way. That's why he said it would be better for us if he left than if he stayed. So yeah, it would be so cool to have been alive at the time of Christ, to have been able to see him and touch him and hear him. But that could only happen if you were physically in the same place that he was. Remember when Lazarus died and Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha, they said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would still be alive." He was in a different town. Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Because now Jesus is always with us, and we are always with him. Because of the ascension, Jesus' power and presence are no longer confined to space and time, but he now fills all things in all ways, and we have immediate access to him at any moment from anywhere in the world. Isn't that good news? This is why the ascension is such a big deal. Because Christ ascended, he is now closer to us than the air we breathe. We don't need to go on a pilgrimage to some sacred land. We don't need to climb some holy mountain to find him. Wherever you are, whether you know it or not, Jesus is there with you. And yes, he invites us to practice his presence in these special ways, in scripture, in prayer, in worship, in communion, in serving the poor. But his presence isn't limited to those acts. He fills everything in every way. I hope you'll try to remember that this week. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, Christ is with you. And here's the crazy thing. The good news of the ascension gets even gooder, because unlike the internet, whatever that is, Jesus' presence on earth isn't some nameless, faceless fog or force. Because when God the Son ascended from earth to heaven, he passed the baton of God's presence on earth to God the Holy Spirit. So remember what Jesus told his disciples right before he was taken up into the cloud. In verse 4, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so Jesus tells his followers that he has a going away present for them. And it's better than anything they can imagine. See, at Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation. The word became flesh, that God is with us. But what we celebrate at the Ascension, and even more so next week on Pentecost Sunday, is that God wasn't content just to be with us. He wanted to be even closer than that. He wanted to live in us. And so he gives us his Spirit. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus now lives in us, to comfort us, to convict us, to guide us, and to empower us so that we can live the life of Christ and be part of his mission in the world. What an amazing gift. Speaking of being an exennial, one of my favorite songwriters is a guy named Sufjan Stevens. And a few days ago, I was listening to an interview that he did about the 10th anniversary of Carrie and Lowell, which is an amazing, beautiful, tragic album about his mom and stepdad. And Sufjan's mom was a schizophrenic drug addict who abandoned him when he was a year old. And then when he grew up, after she died, he wrote this album as a way of processing all that trauma and grief. So it's an amazing album. Not great for Joy Sunday, but but in the interview, Sufjan was asked about how he's doing now, 10 years later, since his mom's death. And his answer was so profound, because what he said is that most people know that when you lose someone close to you, you're going to feel their absence for the rest of your life. Like, the pain isn't always as sharp as it was right at first, but you're never really going to completely heal. You just learn how to live with their absence. But then he said, what people don't talk about is that you also have to learn how to live with the presence of their ghost. He's not talking about a literal ghost or Halloween or something like that. He's talking about the memory and the weight of the loss that lives on and haunts you forever. So he's saying, when you lose someone you love, you not only have to learn how to live with their absence, but also with the presence of their ghost. How many of you know what he's talking about? Yeah. What's crazy is I think that's exactly what Jesus is talking about too, but in a completely upside down way. When he tells his disciples what life is going to be like for them after he's gone, the difference is that the ghost Jesus leaves behind isn't a spirit of fear or trauma or pain or emptiness or grief. The ghost that Jesus leaves is a Holy Ghost, a spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's amazing. See, this is why we're still celebrating Easter 40 days later. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, he disarmed death and he turned the whole thing upside down. So even the haunting spirit of loss that stings us in the face of death, Jesus redeems that too. So the Ascension isn't just about Jesus' absence. It's about his presence through his Holy Spirit. And it's an amazing gift. But let's not forget that Jesus didn't just give us the Spirit for our sake, but for the sake of the world. The Spirit isn't meant to just be a gift to the church, but also and ultimately a gift through the church. This is why Jesus in verse 8 goes on to tell his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is the very last thing Jesus says. These are his final words before he's taken up into the cloud. And he tells his disciples, "I've got more work to do. I've got a world to heal. And I want you to help me." And Jesus says, but I'm not going to leave you to do it on your own. I'm going to give you my spirit. And from this point on, everything I do in the world, I'm going to do through you guys. And then he goes up into the cloud and disappears. And we're told the disciples are standing there staring at the sky, trying to figure out what the heck just happened. And that's when these two angels show up in verse 11. Men of Galilee, they say, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So it hasn't even been 5 minutes since Jesus ascended into the clouds. And the angels want to know, why are you guys just standing there staring at the sky? They tell him, get your head out of the clouds and get to work. Jesus is coming back, and we've got a lot to do before then. God, this is so interesting. Because Jesus has ascended and is now fully present everywhere at once, part of what his spirit wants to teach us as his followers is how to live fully present as well. It's about learning how to truly be wherever we are. Because every moment now is holy. Jesus fills everything in every way. That's all the things and all the ways. All of life is sacred. Every day is a chance for the kingdom of God to break into our world. Every conversation has the potential to be divinely interrupted by the Spirit of God. Every morning we are one day closer to Jesus coming back and making everything new. And so the angels tell the disciples, don't just stand there staring at the sky with your head in the clouds. Set your eyes on what's right in front of you. I would guess that for most of us, the temptation we face isn't to spend all our time daydreaming and staring up at the clouds, but rather to waste all our time staring at our screens, amusing ourselves to death, distracting ourselves from who or what is right in front of us. Because if the ascension of Christ is all about the presence of Jesus that fills everything in every way, then we also are invited to live our lives fully present. So wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, pull your head out of the clouds, put your phone away, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you be in that moment. In that place, with that person. And as you do, I think you'll be surprised at how often you'll find that Jesus is already there and at work. So Antioch, God has placed all things under Christ and appointed him to be the head over his church, his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So may the Spirit of God empower us to live in such a way so that when people ask, where is Jesus right now? We might be the answer to that question for the glory of God and the joy of the world. Amen.